Good morning. Welcome. We are in the third week of a series. Hopefully you haven't been staying up too much at night thinking about it, right? It's called What Keeps You Up at Night, all right? Last week, Pastor Nick did a great job talking about the fear of death, and we walked away with one incredible truth. We're never alone, unless we choose to be. But that's our choice, because when we choose Jesus, we are never alone. Response last week was amazing. 26 people decided they were not going to be alone. We're baptized. Wonderful day. So I thought I'd lighten it up a little bit since Nick talked about death. Let's lighten it up a little bit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "In this life you will have trouble." Death to trouble. Well, it's a little lighter, right? Here is Jesus talking to his disciples after he's given them a bunch of bad news, most of it being, I'm leaving you, and you can't go where I'm going, so, by the way, got some more new good news for you. You're going to have trouble. But we know that, right? We understand that. We can write that down on a book. We can write it out just about yesterday, just about today. The trouble that we have, the stress, the anxiety. When's the last time you had a hard time falling asleep? What consumes your thoughts? What relationship are you struggling with? What family member is just having a hard time? Where is your heart being pulled? In what direction? What job, what relationship, what circumstance? All of that trouble, it's real to us. It's part of our life. Jesus told us. It's gonna be here. It's part of who we are. We know it. We can write about it. We can talk about it. The question is, how do we respond to it? What do we do when we're in the midst of it? Well, it's good for you and glad you're here because I have all the answers you need. I found a book was recommended to me that is going to put all your worries and all your troubles at rest because we get concerned about things that are just out of our control. So here it is. It's called The Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook. All of your troubles right here solved. These are how to get out of them. Things like how to escape from quicksand. That's one I've always worried about. Little childhood fear. How about how to wrestle an alligator and live? And that's the important part. How to break down a door. If you are a parent of a teenager, you might want this. I always wanted to do this one. How to land a plane when the pilot's incapacitated. I've always thought I could do that. Let me read you some of the specifics of one. This is how to leap from a motorcycle to a car. If this keeps you up at night, we have some people in white coats that would like to talk to you right outside. No. Here you go. This is how to do it. 6, 7 simple steps. Here we go. Oh, 9. Sorry. 9 steps. Here we go. First one, wear a high-quality helmet and a leather jacket plus leather pants and boots. Don't try it otherwise. Don't try it in your tennis shoes. Make sure both vehicles are moving at the same speed. That's an important thing. Don't try to fly by. That's not going to work. Wait for a long, straight section of road. Okay? Get the vehicles as close as possible to each other. That's important, unless you're a really good jumper. Stand crouched with both of your feet on either the running board or the seat. I don't think I could do that maneuver right there. Hold the throttle until the last instant, because remember, as soon as you let go, the bike's going to slow down. If the car has a handle inside, above the door, grab it with your free hand. When I read that one, I realized there was not a 6B that said, make sure the window is down. It seems like that would be an obvious one to me, but I don't know. Number 8, have the driver swerve away from the bike as soon as you are inside, because the bike's going to go out of control. Oh, but here's the good news. If you miss, wait, I thought this was how to survive. Okay, if you miss the window, tuck and roll away from the vehicle. See page 82 for jumping from a moving car. There you go. Who buys this? I think there's, I did, yes, I did, very much. Pastors buy it for sermon illustrations. That's one group. Another group is people who are just, you know, interested, paranoid maybe, want to make sure they're prepared for everything. And then there's the third group that actually want to try them. Yeah. I've had a couple of people ask me to borrow this. And I said, no, your wife would hate me if I let you use this. Forget it. Not going to happen. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, he said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry about itself, right? Enough worry for itself. Glenn's going to be addressing that next week as we talk about fear of the future and things that happen later, things that we get consume us. But he finishes, Jesus finishes that sentence with this: each day has enough troubles of its own. Each day has enough troubles of its own. And we know that, we feel that, right? How do we respond to the troubles? I submit to you that one of the things that we do in the midst of our trouble is we become afraid. Now, there is good fear, and Glenn talked about that a couple weeks ago. In circumstances, there are good times to be afraid, to flee. The survival instinct kicks in, and there's a good time to have fear. But it's when we live in that fear, when those troubles begin to cause us lots of fear, and that fear begins to consume us, and we begin to think through that fear, our reaction to the troubles is misguided. Fear causes us to seek control. Many of the times that we're in situations that are troubling to us, we don't like it. We get uncomfortable. When we get uncomfortable, what do we tend to do? We either leave the situation or we attempt to control the situation to make ourselves feel better, to lessen the anxiety of ourselves or somebody else. We seek control. This book illustrated all the different things that you cannot control. It gave you 9 simple steps. All of us should be able to go out and get on a motorcycle and jump into a moving car. Simple. But all the things that we cannot control in the situation are there. It's just our lives. We get to this place of experiencing trouble, no matter what it may be. And I know in the room there's lots of trouble. We are experiencing all kinds of heartache, all kinds of things that are just beyond our control. But the fear and the anxiety that grows within us begins to cause us to think past today, to think about other things, to try to step in and do far more than God ever asked us to do in situations. Because we give into that fear instead of trying to find Jesus in the midst of the trouble. And it's that dichotomy between these two places that we live that really causes us stress. Let me illustrate it this way. 25 years ago, our first daughter was born, right before Christmas, a month early. So the family's in town because it's Christmas, and they got an early Christmas present. 23rd of December, our first daughter is born. And in the midst of that, we thought it was great. We're on the fourth floor of St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix. Wonderful time. We're just elated, so happy, welcoming our daughter in, getting a tax deduction right at the end of the year. It was a beautiful thing. Christmas present for all the family. Robin's family had come into town, her mom and her grandparents. Her grandparents, their first great-grandchild is born, won't come down to the hospital because we're on the fourth floor. And I'm like, that's okay. They make elevators. In fact, they have them right here in the hospital. You walk in, you push a button, you come off on the fourth floor, and then you get to see your great-grandbaby. Nope. Now, I hadn't known Robin's family all that long, 3 years at this point, so I didn't know all the details about their background and stuff, but Robin began to share with me Grandma's history. See, when she was 6, one of her parents died. Got sick, died. 6 months later, her other parent became ill and died. Tragic. As a child, she's farmed out. All of her and her siblings are farmed out to other members of the family where she grew up. When she gets married, her first child dies in childbirth. Not too long after that, her and her husband had some great friends, grandma and grandpa had some great friends, very close to them, died in a plane accident. Small plane went down, everybody died. All of these things, this trouble in her own life, caused her to respond in trying to control all of her situations. She lived in fear. So no longer would she travel. She never traveled on an airplane. Refused to do it. She wouldn't travel on a train. She would not travel in a bus. She would only ride in cars. And she would not get on an elevator. Her fear in her life began to surround her and squeeze her life together, began to bring it into a space that was smaller and smaller, and her life began to be lived only in the places that she could control, because the fear was overwhelming of what was on the outside of that. Winston Churchill described it this way. He said, "Worry is the stream of fear trickling through the mind that, if encouraged, cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained." That's not how Jesus intended for us to live, but it's how we live when we take this position of, I need to control this because I'm afraid and I have anxiety and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to do my best. And so I step back and I step back. Which brings me to my point today is fear imprisons, but faith releases. Fear imprisons us. Fear holds us down. Fear consumes us. It limits us. It confines us. It causes us to withdraw. It gives us handicaps. But faith. Faith frees us. Faith empowers us. Faith provides motivation, sets in motion, gives confidence, provides focus into our lives and into our day. All in the midst of joy, all in the midst of trouble. Because in the midst of those things, we are looking for Jesus. Our faith is not in our trouble. Our faith is not in our circumstance, nor is our faith in what comes after. Our faith is in who is with us in the midst of those circumstances. And when we move to a place of having faith in Jesus, it changes how we approach trouble. Fear consumes us. It knocks us down, causes us to withdraw, but faith sets us free to see what God has intended for us. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Page 830, I believe. 830 in the Bible's in front of you. We're going to be starting in verse 5. I'm going to read 5 through 7 here. Peter is speaking to the church, he's speaking to the elders, he's speaking to the leadership, and then he speaks to those following the leadership, and that's where we begin in verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, this is not about an age statement, this is about a faith statement. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are in years, this is about faith. You who are younger in your faith, submit yourselves to your elders. Look up to them. Submit to them. Submit yourselves to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Let's go back and unpack this just a little bit. So here is Peter talking to the church, and it says in the same way, talking about all of you, you're younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Follow people, submit to them, listen to them. See, what happens when we live in fear and control, we say, I know better, right? I know how to get out of this. I just won't do it. I know how to avoid that. No, I can't do that. Go? No, I'm going nowhere. I'm staying right here, and I'm not going that way. And we begin to draw lines in the box. And Peter is saying, no, submit to the elders. Submit to others who are more mature in their faith, because they may be telling you and leading you and sharing with you what God has in store for you, who God really is, and maybe challenging you to let go of some of the things you hold on to and think are so very valuable when they're really not. So we submit to them. all of you, everyone, old, young, doesn't matter, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. That's a hard one. Because we live in a place, maybe because of position, maybe because of experience, maybe just because of life experience, where we begin to believe we know some things. And we know more than that person. Look at their life. I know better. Look at my life. And we have a hard time putting ourselves in a place where we can humble ourselves and learn from others. Because we only are going to do this. The answer is only A, B, or C. There is no further letters in the alphabet. It's only A, B, or C. But somebody else has tried D, E, and F and had great success and are trying to teach us that, share with us. But no, no, I'm arrogant. I'm not humble. I'm not going to listen. That may have worked for you, but it won't work for me. I won't do that. Those are the phrases we begin to say in our arrogance. And Peter is saying, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. And then he gives us the reason why. Because God opposes the proud. Now this morning when you woke up and you looked at your top 10 list of things to accomplish today, number one said, I'm going to oppose God. Right? You said, I'm going to fight with God. You're going to oppose him. No, it says God opposes the proud. I wouldn't think that would be on our top 10 list. But God looks at us in our arrogance and says, why are you trying to make yourself bigger than me? I will show favor to the humble. Again, my position before God. In the midst of my trouble, oftentimes we say things like this. Why did God cause this? Why did God allow this to happen? We begin to blame. We put ourselves in opposition to God. We don't say things like, wow, God really comforted me in this. Sometimes we do. And when we're more mature and when we're expressing our faith, those are the things we begin to say is like, this was really hard. I couldn't have done it alone. God was in the midst. I've seen God work through this. I have felt his presence in the midst of this. Those are people that are humble and have humbled themselves and realized, I can't control these circumstances. I don't know why they happened. I don't have to blame anybody for them. I just know I'm in trouble. But I also know I'm not alone. And God shows his favor to the humble. I want you to really see this word picture here. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Now, I think about this, and I just had this flash that went in front of me, and it's like, if I am under his hand, I am really small. If he can fit me under his whole hand, maybe just part of his hand, maybe I'm just a little pinky. What it looks like for me to oppose him is this, is I start saying, wow, this is tough, but I got it, God. I am in control, no problem. God, it's getting harder. I still got it. Leave me alone. I have a plan, God. I can do this. I can do it myself. If I'm under God's mighty hand, all I got to tell you is I'm in the wrong place. That is not a successful place for me. Look at the next part of that verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Don't be arrogant under his hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I want to be on top of his hand. I want to get out from under his mighty hand and crawl on top and say, I'm going to rest right here and allow you in the midst of whatever circumstances I have, whatever trouble comes my way, that you can lift me up. It gets better. Peter writes, cast all your anxiety on him. We could spend a week talking about that. How many of us walk around with anxiety? I carry my own. And I think, oh, I'm the one to do it. I can do it, God. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Faith is getting to a place to believe that Jesus loves you more than you love yourself. God, the creator of the universe, cares for you. And he is in the midst of all of your trouble with you. And he wants to walk with you through it and watch your faith grow and to watch you expand and learn and come to this place of knowing him in the midst of all the circumstances, that we don't give in to fear, but we allow the faith of our life to bring freedom to be loved and to love. See, fear keeps us from loving. Faith allows us to love all people in all circumstances. It's messy, but it's freeing. Fear imprisons, but faith releases. I want to introduce to you Susie Brown. Tim and Susie Brown have been part of Pantano for a long time. Susie is much more comfortable behind a guitar leading worship than she is right now about to tell us part of her story. Let's welcome Susie. Susie has a story that you will relate to. It's a story of trouble. It's a story that is real, that is honest, that is probably part of many of your lives as well. And Susie's agreed to share some of that because in the midst of that trouble, she's learned a lot of things. And God has continued to move in her life. So Susie, share with us this last year and the trouble your family has experienced.
So a year ago, right before Christmas, my son-in-law committed suicide. And he had struggled with mental illness and bipolar disorder for over 20 years, which caused my daughter and my grandchildren to leave him 6 months prior to this. And the next 3 months were filled with a lot of sleepless nights and just with uncertainty of what's going to happen next with my family. And my grandson, who was 12 at the time, just stopped going to school. He wouldn't go to school anymore. And he was an honor student. He never missed school, ever. He developed anxiety and depression and was diagnosed with post-traumatic syndrome. My daughter had nightmares. My granddaughter moved in with us because she couldn't deal with things that were going on at home. So our lives were a mess. And things are better, but still very difficult.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it this last little over a year and a half, just the struggle with your family and all of that. And that it's an impact to a family. It's destroying, it's destructive, and all the questions that come with situations like that. And then watching your family, watching your daughter, watching your grandkids really struggle in the midst of that. But we can't diminish that in any way. It's overwhelming. But God is also in the midst of that. And he has been in the midst of your life and what he's asked you to do. As on staff at Scriptures and Youth, one of our Scriptures and Youth, one of our mission partners, you were really being challenged to go on a big adventure right in the midst of all your family trouble and struggle. And so tell us what you were called to do, what you really felt God was leading you to do, and how hard it was, and how did you put that together and realize you had to do it no matter what? How did you put that from a mom and grandma standpoint versus this is what God has asked you to do in the midst of it?
Okay. So there came a point where I knew I had made this commitment to go to India. And so the mom and grandmother in me said, was saying, I just couldn't imagine getting on a plane and leaving during this really difficult time. And I remember when that time came to go, I still questioned myself. I was asking myself, what are you doing? What if something happens and you're thousands of miles away? Fear took over in that moment, and I really wasn't sure that I was doing the right thing. But I had to decide. I had to decide to move from fear to faith. I had to let go and let God take over, because I knew that God was going to take care of my family during this time. And I had to just not allow fear to imprison me, but to allow God to free me so that I could do ministry. So in the midst of all of my troubles that were going on, I went to India. And I went to teach women to take the stories of the Bible and match them to the stories of the Bible to the issues and needs that these women were going through themselves. Even in the midst of all of their troubles. And so I trained 40 women, and as a result, 10 of those women within 3 months became, well, 10 of those women became master trainers. And what I mean by that is that they just took what they were taught and they trained it. And they, within 3 months, they brought 350 women to faith in Jesus Christ. And if I had not have gone, and if I would have stayed back in my fear and not gone on in faith, that would not have happened. And so I really also want to thank Pantano for being a longtime supporter and just supporting me as I go and train these women and just to be able to make a difference.
Thank you. So what I heard you saying, Susie, to all of us, is that in the midst of your own trouble, God told you to go and tell the stories of the Bible that are written to us to give us hope in the midst of our own trouble to people who don't know the stories of the Bible, so they could take those same stories that encourage you, that encourage us, and encourage other people who don't know who Jesus is. And in the process of your learning and looking for Jesus in the midst of your own trouble, you shared Jesus with others who shared Jesus with others who shared Jesus with others, and it's starting a movement. Is that?
It's multiplying. It's continuing on even today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Susie is going to be in the cafe right after service if you'd like to spend a little time with her, if you'd like to hug on her and pray with her or have her pray with you or just encourage her in what she is doing all the way halfway around the world. It is amazing when we live in fear, what we surrender, what we give up, when we live in a place of isolation and imprisonment. And I don't mean isolation like you don't talk to anybody. What I mean is isolation from the God who frees us and calls us to do things where he is already at work in the midst of things. He's at work in the midst of other people's lives, and he's asked you to be a part of it. He's giving you opportunity, and it's not you. All you have to do is say, I'll go, I'll do, I'll speak, I'll stand. Because I'm not afraid, Jesus, because I know you're in the midst of this. Whether it's wonderful or whether it's difficult, I know you're here with me. I know you're in the midst of it. And I'm going to choose faith, faith that you care about me and that you care about them. And you care about him and her and others. And if you choose to walk with me to show your care for them, I choose to go with you. That is a definition of faith. Will I trust you, Jesus, that you really do care for me? That you really are with me? That you really will go with me? See, our way limits life. My way says I am not stepping out of what's comfortable. I am not giving up control. I want to do it this way because I am not entering situations where I do not know the outcomes. And God's way is, says, it doesn't matter what the outcomes are. It doesn't matter what the situations are. I'm already there. Join me. Come with me because I care about you. I am with you. Our way is imprisonment. God's way is freedom. God's way is living life to the full. And when we pursue the things that are not of God, we pursue the things we think we want, we find out that they just imprison us even more. But when we trust God, when we live in faith, it changes everything. And we get to experience the fullness of Jesus' love and his grace. And we may even get to go to India and start a movement. Some of you are like, I'm not going to India. That's what I'm talking about right there. The real answer is, I'll go wherever you want me to go, God, whenever you want me to go. I don't really want to go to India either, but but if that's where I'm supposed to go, I want to invite you to do something with me. I want to invite you to set your feet upon solid ground and make a declaration. A declaration of faith, a declaration because of who God is, not because of who you are, but because of your faith in who he is and what he has shared with you. Now, I know some of you are a little resistant because I'm not going to repeat anything until I've seen it and my lawyer signed off on it, right? Because I want to make sure, you're going to hold me to that. I want to make sure. Some of you, this is going to be easy because you're like, absolutely, that's how I live. And some of you are real new in faith and going, that's how I want to live. But I'm not quite sure how to do that. And some of you, this is brand new, first time, and you're not ready. And that's okay, too. So I'm going to give you an opt-out clause. It's up to you. I am going to ask you all to stand with me, though. If you're in the cafe, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you're at home, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Because when we stand, we declare. This isn't sitting back in your recliner saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is standing and saying, no, no, I'm standing before you, God. I'm going to humble myself in front of you and let this be our prayer. If you, I just want to invite you, if you can agree with these words, to pray with me and just repeat these words after I say them. Let's pray. Because you care for me, God, I humble myself before you. I submit to your ways. I trust you with my trouble. I give you my worry and my fear. I will accept your care for me. I will not fight you for control, so that I can live in freedom. Amen. May you have an incredibly blessed day as your faith takes another step forward. If you are in trouble this morning and carrying a big burden, our prayer partners are going to be here. We want to pray with you and join you in that. And if you're just visiting us and would like to know a little more, meet us over in Starting Point right across the courtyard, room 1. Have a great day.